Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all, Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And Jamie Jennings here from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for Wednesday, January 12th, 2011, episode 53, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
You. And next time y'all talk to Uncle Jimmy, tell him that poor Sprite is scared of the hanging balls. She seems to be over it
Sprite
now.
Sprite scared of Uncle Jimmy's balls.
Oh,
that's terrific.
God.
I love that.
Oh,
that's not right. No.
That's just his personality. Being what he's bred to be.
Hey, Jamie, that little clip there about Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls was off of yesterday's show, at the end of yesterday's show. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Her horse is afraid of the treats that hang down, and they're called Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls. And her horse is scared of them. Did you talk to Uncle Jimmy about that?
Well, he actually listened to it, and he wrote me an email and said, hey, guys, I just got into the office and listened to your show. Wow, a horse afraid of my balls. Uncle Jimmy has to come to the rescue. Actually, that has happened to one or two horses that I am aware of. However, once the balls put in there and left, they all get used to my balls, like anything else in life. So there you go, Jimmy responded. He heard that. And he said, just leave the balls in there and they'll be fine.
Oh, my gosh. Just get them used to his balls. Just keep them hanging in there, and you'll be fine. So, again, people were talking about horse treats. Their Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls in their horse treats. It's kind of like the lick-ems, you know? You just leave them in there, and apparently they'll figure it out.
Well, so anyway, I had to say that because I had to bring that up at the beginning. That's why I put it in there, because I thought, well, Uncle Jimmy actually listens, and he heard us talking about his hanging balls yesterday. So we had to acknowledge it. But, you know, Jennifer is working us to death. She has a busy show planned for us today.
Oh, you blaming me?
Yes, I'm blaming you. And that was to come in and tell us what was going on.
Oh, okay. On today's show, we're going to start out with Peter Campbell, who's updating us on how the Michael Richardson benefit went last week down there in Texas that we talked about. And then Caroline Jaffe will be here to talk about See To It at Circle C Farm, who is the winner of this month's Barn of the Month contest. Technically speaking, a worldwide contest, because we can take nominations from all of our listeners all over the world. Next up, it's the Horse Health Report with Christy West, and it's going to be all about eyeballs. Ugh. Okay. I want to know if they're going to make contact lenses. That's all I want to know. And I would be remiss if
I didn't
mention. I
have trouble putting the contact lenses in my eyeballs, let alone a horse's eyeballs.
Speaking of which, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the stacks of sarcasm, mountains of mischief, and numerous narratives we have all come to expect from Glenn and Jamie.
Oh, my gosh. You are absolutely the most creative.
It's called thesaurus.com.
Fantastic. So Yesterday, Glenn, we were playing, we were talking about a clip. Do you want to play that real quick?
Yeah, we could do that. What happened is we played a video yesterday. It's still on our Facebook page, by the way. If you want to follow along during the show, just go to Horses in the Morning on Facebook. And there's lots of conversations, and we post things that people talk about and that kind of thing. So yesterday we posted a video of a horse race in Japan that that was hilarious. They came around the final turn, heading down to the home stretch in the horse race, and so it was all Japanese. We couldn't understand a word of it. It was Japanese, right, Jamie?
It was Japanese. I did confirm with my Japanese friend, Maya, that it was, in fact, Japanese. And basically,
okay, so we didn't get that wrong.
No, we didn't get that wrong. I mean, they're talking so fast. It's a horse race, for crying out loud. So they're like, oh, it's coming around the stretch, but not in our language.
Right. So they were coming around the final turn, and there in the way were two of those big tractors pulling the 14, 18-foot drags behind them. They had started dragging the track before the race was over. So when they came around the final turn, the horses, the tractors were right there on the inside rail, and there were horses weaving in and out of the tractors and around them. It was the funniest thing, scary and funny all at the same time. So I wanted to I'll play a little bit of the sound. This is the announcer as they were coming around the end of the track, and then you can tell us what the translation was. Oh, not that one. Try this one.
I'm going to take your button privileges away.
あ、前の争いからは3番のフライト風神、3番のフライト風神が先頭です。3番のフライト風神が先頭で、そして2番手には4番のマイネルブラジリエ。さあ、3番のフライト風神、3番のフライト風神、そして4番のマイネルブラジリエ。そしてその後でありますが5番のリックチャー。さあ先頭は3番フサイチ風神、2番手には4番マイネルブラジリエ、3番フサイチ風神ゴールイン。
Okay. So what you're listening to is the part where the horses are galloping around the track, and honest to God, they come around the corner and there's two giant tractors in the way. I mean, blocking the entire road. So one horse goes swings wide around them. One horse, and I guess the rest of the horses, actually like dodged in between these two tractors. Now, mind you, they're going at a full-out gallop. I mean, they're racehorses. They're running as fast as they can. They're probably 3 years old, and there's tractors. And, you know, a tractor can't start down the street without my horse spooking a little bit. So, mind you, these jockeys are perched in these little tiny saddles on top of these horses going as fast as they can. So here's the translation. I talked to my friend Maya, who is half Japanese, and she claims to speak half of the language.
Clearly, you have a translation.
Yeah, she's half, so she says she takes pictures half of the time, and she, you know, basically carries a camera around half the time, and she speaks half of the language and everything anyway. So this is what she said. As they're coming around the turn, she goes, oddly enough, he really doesn't say anything about the tractors. He just keeps talking about what's going on in the race and who's leading and who's falling behind and who's coming in first. At one point, he does stop and say one thing about two cars being on the racetrack, but that's it. Nothing else was mentioned about the tractors being on the track or the horses dodging them or anything like that. The announcer just kept on going.
Was he watching the race?
Yeah, I know. It's like, did he think it was going to be replayed and he wanted to have a cover-up for it or something? But, yeah, the guy never mentioned the fact that horses are dodging in between tractors through that entire part of the race.
I know. It was just bizarre. That's really bizarre. You know, if it was an American announcer, it would have been a classic. It would have been went on YouTube. They would have had something funny to say, and it would have been a classic. Like some of those race calls we've listened to recently, you know, that we did it last week. That's what it would have been. It would have ended up on YouTube, and it would have been a sensation.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. She said she was very disappointed. She's not a horse person at all, but she said that she was really looking forward to, like, the guy, you know, coming in, because she could watch it on her phone when I first sent it to her, and she couldn't hear him. So she went and downloaded it later and listened to it and translated it. And she was like, I was so disappointed because I really expected him to do what you said, like, just go absolutely crazy about the whole thing. And she's like, not a word. Maybe something about two cars on the racetrack, but nothing about any of the horses dodging tractors while running at full speed. So there you go. That is your Japanese translation. Thanks to Maya Hutchison for translating that for us.
Well, thank you, Maya Hutchison. We appreciate it. Hey, you sent me a video this morning. Last week we talked about rescues and horses, and we put up a picture of your horse, Jet, who you rescued, who was absolutely as skinny as a rail. It must have weighed 600-700 pounds and probably now weighs, 1,100 pounds. And you're just training this horse, and it was a little bit of a handful when you first started. And today it was so exciting. You sent a picture of you jumping it yesterday, or a video.
I did. Yeah, I sent a video. He's all of a sudden taking a turn for the relaxed. Like, he is totally chilled out now. He is very happy, and he is very happy doing nothing. He would prefer to stand in the field. So I've been working on getting him moving forward, and, you know, the first time I took him to a pole on the ground, he wouldn't step over it. So the video that we're posting on Facebook right now is of him actually doing a course of 4 or 5 jumps, and you cannot tell, and I'm surprised, because you can't tell how hard I was working to keep him going. It's like cluck, 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 keep going, come on, trot, 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 the entire time. But he actually clears all 4 jumps, and you can see the minimal amount of effort that he puts into it. But I wanted to post this because, you know, I posted the pictures of him being a bag of bones. Then I posted the picture of him about a year ago with me leading my husband around on him. And so I wanted to see, to show you guys that he's getting a lot better, and he's much improved. And I also kind of wanted to post this for our listeners as a baseline for where we're going to go from here. So I can say, you know, 3 months from now, remember that time we posted the video of him barely making it over cross rails? So this is the baseline, and then we will be improving from here. It's a challenge I'm setting out to myself right now. So the gauntlet is thrown down.
Well, I posted it. It's up on Facebook. Anybody wants to take a look at it, they just go to our page there at Horses in the Morning and check it out. You'll see Jet jumping around the course there, doing his thing. And Jamie looking all stylish. You're looking good there, Jamie. I haven't seen you ride in a while. So it's all looking good. And it's looking a heck of a lot warmer in Arizona than it is here in Kentucky, let me tell you.
Really, that's the main part I wanted to convey, was the fact that it's awesome here right now. I mean, it was a little chilly. It got, like, the high was only 68, and so I was freezing. But it's beautiful out there. And when you say jumping around the course, mind you, this is more like meandering around the course and skimming the top of these cross rails. So not a whole lot of effort, but again, he's going forward, and he's going straight, and he's getting over them. So that's our goal, is to improve from here. But yes, this is definitely designed to show you the weather here in beautiful, sunny Arizona. And I can't imagine how many visitors I'm going to have this time next year because of this. Everybody's welcome. Come on.
I think we're going to be recording the morning show from Arizona every morning next winter, is what I'm thinking. And, shout out to all our friends in the Northeast and my brother and our co-host, Alina, who are now getting pounded with another blizzard up there in Connecticut and Rhode Island, and expecting 2 feet of snow with 40-50 mile an hour winds. So, and I talked to my brother this morning, and they're getting hammered. So it's a shout out to them. But, Alina, we have our first guest on. I want to get to him right now. We have Peter Campbell on the line. Peter was... Remember last week we had a guest on, Bill, who talked about the Michael Richardson benefit. Michael is a very well-known clinician across the country who's in a wheelchair and has a real tough time the last couple of years. We talked about that on the show. They had a benefit for him with all of the top names, really, in the horse world were there on Sunday. And, you know, I wanted to have Peter Campbell on, who was the MC of the event, to find out how everything went. Well, hi, Peter. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing today?
Good. good. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's early where you are, and you're probably still recovering. You had a long day on Sunday. It was 11 hours of benefit for Michael Richardson with some of the top names and clinicians in the horse world. Tell us how it went.
Well, it went well. There was a lot of it was a little bit of bad weather there for Texas. Being from Wyoming, it didn't seem too bad, but they're not used to that kind of cold weather. But it didn't dampen the spirits of anybody. There was a lot of people showed up for it. Of course, I'm a clinician too, and was asked to MC it. And the people really enjoyed the different aspects of the event. They had different presentators doing their showing their horse activities. After each presentator, we had an auction of the things that they donated to Michael. And really, all in all, it was a spectacular event.
Well, that's great. Were there some highlights of the day? Were there some funny moments or things that happened that stood out for you?
Well, you know, actually, there was a funny moment. One of the clinicians was doing a demonstration. They had the microphone on, and they were doing some cattle work. And he had the headset on, and the rope got caught in the microphone and cut the microphone cord in half. So all of a sudden he was talking. There was nothing going on. So then I dove in there and gave a kind of like a hockey game, a play-by-play of what they were doing. And that was kind of comical because we weren't really ready for something like that off the bat.
Oh, and, you know, that's always the thing, having done MC work before, that's always the fun stuff that you get into when you're doing it. And of course, you had the Pirellis there. You had a lot of the big names. That and I hear that there were people there supporting Michael.
There was
Michael.
Lots of people there. I don't know the number of people that were there, but stands are pretty full. And, of course, you know, there was some weather-related. People probably couldn't get there because of the weather. But really, all in all, the event really shone real nice. There was a good variety of people showing their things. They had dogs working cattle. They had horsemen doing their horseman stuff with the horses. They had some ranch roping. They had some colt starting. There was a lady there in a wheelchair that worked her horse and rode it. And it was really, really entertaining. And it did well for Michael. I got to visit with Michael the evening before, and he was in good spirits. It's kind of a testimonial to, if we think we're having a bad day, I don't think we're having a bad day. That man is an inspiration. He's jovial. He's happy. He's upbeat. And I visited with him the night or the evening after the event, and his spirits were high. And I got to meet his mom and dad, and they're just great people. And his wife, it's just was a really, really nice event.
Now, was Michael able to make it at all to the event? Was he able to get there?
He didn't make it over to the event because it was raining and kind of half snowing. He was in the motel across the street. He didn't make it over because of the wet weather and stuff, but his wife did make it over there. And there was, I think he watched it on the internet as it was going on from the motel room. He really wished he could have been there, he said, but because of the wet weather, getting over there would have been a chore because it was kind of across the street, but wasn't like you could take a car ride just right across the street there.
Right,
Knowing how capable he is and how what a hard worker he is, that must have just killed him to not be able to go to that. I mean, he's got an entire benefit going on across the street, and you can't get there. So bless his little heart. He must have just had a hard time with that. But I'm so glad to hear his spirits are up and he's feeling better. And is he more on the road to recovery now?
Yeah, I think he's on the road to recovery now. And I think, you know, the all the positive spin off of the benefit and seeing that all the support that he has from all these people. There was people there that never even met Michael, don't even know Michael. They just read a story about it on the internet, and they were real excited to come there and support it. And somebody did ask me, there was a magazine there that asked, interviewed me, and they said, what do you think drawed all these top name people? And she said, you know, these are some of the biggest names, or are the biggest names in the industry. She said, what drew you here? What drew these big names here? And I said, well, I said, the way I summed it up was, any one of us could be in the same boat tomorrow morning. And so when you look at that, you kind of think, you know, if that happened to us, we wished or would hope that people would join together to help another person out that needs some help. And so I said, that's basically, it wasn't the kind of an event where you were trying to promote yourself or promote your name. You were there for Michael and his family. And basically that's what I said. I said, there isn't anybody here that couldn't be in the same boat because of an accident.
Yeah, you know, he had a car accident, but, you know, that could be a car accident, it could be a horse accident, it could be anything that puts you there. And I want to clarify, too, Michael, I know Michael well enough to know that he doesn't want you to feel sorry for him. Michael is not that person.
No, he does not. He does not want you to feel sorry for him. It's not something where he's like, poor me. It's not like that. He's not that kind of a person.
Now, he's just been dealt, you know, in the last 2 years, he's had a series of very unfortunate things that have caused him not to be able to work and, you know, and spend a lot of time in the hospital and, you know, just some things that are, you know, beyond his control. And that's
right.
What put it in the situation. In a way, I'm sure that he was totally, knowing Michael, I'm sure he was totally flattered about Sunday. And in a way, he was embarrassed. And that's the way Michael is. He was embarrassed that it had to come to that. That's just the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think, you know, it's not that he was trying to get that together. This wasn't his idea. This was friends of his getting this together. So it wasn't Michael's idea or anything like that to do this. This was friends of his, people that knew him, getting together, pulling together to help him out. And whether... like you said, you know, he may have been a little embarrassed about that, but I think in the long run, he was probably pleasantly surprised at all the support that he got and all the people that came and all the big names that came. I mean, there was people that flew in, got in at 2 in the morning, did their demonstration at 9 or 10 o'clock, and then left at 3 in the afternoon. So
wow,
people went there for a reason, and that was to help Michael and his family and to show support.
Well,
that's awesome.
And I'm sure it raised a good bit of money, which is what it was all about, is helping him out there financially as well. If you still want to donate, if anybody wants to donate, they can do it. They can do it on his website, and we'll put a link to that on ours as well, and we'll put a link over on Facebook. And, you know, and Peter has his own website too. Peter, sometime when we have a little bit more time, let's have you back and talk about what you're up to. But your website is petercampbellhorsemanship.com, and you have all of your clinics and your schedule on there for 2011 now?
Yes, we have the schedule up on the webpage now. And next time we get to talk, we'll visit about it. And we really enjoyed going to the benefit and talking to you folks. It's been really nice. I hope it's warmer where you are than it is here.
No, not really, but Jamie does. Jamie has the warm weather. Hey, thank you, by the way, so much for you know, volunteering to spend your whole day emceeing at that event and taking time out of your life to do that for Michael as well.
Very good. Thank you very much. Have a good day now, you folks.
All right. Bye, Peter.
You too.
Well, that was Peter Campbell, who is a very well-known. He's been 25 years doing the clinician and horsemanship thing around the country and the world, so... I love talking to Peter. I've talked to him once before, and he is the most down-to-earth spoken guy that you're ever going to meet. You're just going to get it the way it is. He is a cowboy's cowboy.
I was just going to say he's a cowboy because you thanked him for volunteering, and he's like, okay, bye-bye. Like, totally yep. humble, totally, like, it wasn't about me, it wasn't for me, you know, he wasn't promoting anything, he just came on here and talked about the event, and, you know, good for him. I think that's awesome. But you couldn't tell him that because he'd be embarrassed and then he'd hang up.
Yep, exactly. Well, and yeah, I'm just glad that Peter was able to join us this morning. It was nice to take time out to give us a report, and it sounds like it all went very well. And we're going to try. I have a request out to Michael that when he's feeling up to it, he's going to join us here on the show as well. So as soon as we can get Michael on the show, as soon as he's feeling up to it, we'll have him on. Michael is welcome to join us any day of the week, anytime. So hopefully we'll be hearing from him soon. Well, let's take a break. Our sponsor this half hour is Back on Track. Let's take a break for a Back on Track commercial. We'll be right back with our Barn of the Month. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work. And what is the science behind them? Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
And you are listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Back on Track. And Glenn, I wanted to report that I found the news story that Horse of the Year, of course, as we all know, it's like a national holiday, hello, is on Monday, the
right.
17th. And for the seventh consecutive year, TVG is going to air the dinner, the awards dinner, on their station, and I believe online as well, because unfortunately we don't get TVG here in Phoenix with my cable company, but you can watch it online. Of course, you know, the little press release is, the event will be highlighted by crowning the Horse of the Year, which is a hotly contested race between finalists Blame, Goldikova, and Zenyatta. So it's like a huge holiday here in my house. We will be going to the airport to get our new puppies, and then we will be watching online, or at least I will. I doubt my husband will even care for 5 seconds, but we will be watching the TVG's broadcast, which begins at 6 Eastern, and they are doing a one-hour pre-show. I wonder if it's like a red carpet event, you know, like, you know, you see the Oscars and the Grammys, and they did the one-hour pre-show, and all the people interview them, and, hey,
who
are you wearing?
Do you think that Zenyatta will show up for the red carpet in her gown? You think?
Exactly. She's so bizarre. Like, here comes, and oh, here she is, everybody, getting out of the limo. It's Zenyatta. Darling, please, who are you wearing?
Yeah.
So they're doing like a 1 hour pre-show program showing the arrival of the evening's key participants, and then they're going to reflect on the past year race.
She's
going to
show up, and they're going to go, she's going to go, my diamond encrusted halter is a compliment of.
Compliments of Tiffany's, which my Chanel bag. and what shoes are you wearing? Oh, well, these are the Horseman Special. They're size 2. So, yeah. This is what happens when I have way too much time on my hands.
Hey, we're having tomorrow morning, Jamie. We're having the executive producer of HR TV, which used to be Horse Racing TV. She's going to be on with us talking a little bit about what HRTV is up to, and also a little bit about the upcoming Eclipse Awards. And HRTV has won many Eclipse Awards, so she'll be able to tell us if Zenyatta will in fact be showing up in her finest red gown with with the diamond encrusted halter.
Oh, that'd be great. And I do want to let you know that I did contact Charles, Zenyatta's handler, to see if he would be on the show with us on Monday or Tuesday. Have not heard back yet, but I will keep trying and keep calling. And no, I'm just kidding. All right, well, we have our next guest on the line. And, you know, what we like to do here on the Horse Radio Network and here on Horses in the Morning is to let people know the good that's going on in the world. And so many of our listeners don't keep their horses at their house. They keep them at boarding facilities and stables. And what we want to do is we want to hear about your barn. Where do you keep your horse? What are they doing there? We want to crown a barn of the month every single month. And we got a nomination from a woman named Kim Dobbins, who is in Georgia. And she nominated a farm called See to It at Circle C Farms. It's in Snellville, Georgia, and it's a boarding facility, but also the equine-assisted therapy, and they've been doing that since 2007, and I guess, you know, we could probably go ahead and get Caroline on the phone here and have her tell us a little bit about it, but congratulations, Barn of the Month, See to It, C Farms in Snellville, Georgia. Yay! So good morning, Caroline. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thank you guys so much for the nomination, and I am absolutely pleased to be here with you this morning on horsesintheradio.com. I'm just so excited that Kim Dobbins chose to recognize us and our efforts on a daily basis in this fashion. It's just amazing, and it's so neat to finally get the chance to say hello to you guys. Thank you again.
Oh, absolutely. So your farm is in Snellville, and tell us, it's called Circle See to It, and you've been providing equine-assisted therapy since 2007. And tell us a little bit about your facility and what you guys do.
Well, let's see here. We actually primarily focus on equine-assisted therapies. A tremendous amount of our focus deals in equine-assisted learning programs, which are customized for various groups or individuals. Since I'm EGALA certified, which is the Equine-Assisted Growth and Learning Association, I'm sure you guys are familiar with that organization, we actually get a chance to work with various mental health professionals, counselors, MSWs, and such, in individual and group settings for their clientele. In addition, we can work with business vocational training programs for school children. We can also do these types of programs for those with disabilities. And, of course, I'm also NARA certified, which is the North American Riding for the Handicapped Association. So we deal with and get the pleasure of seeing all kinds of wonderful challenges that human beings are meeting and really overcoming on a daily basis. And we get a chance to work with speech pathologists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, as well as work with clients one-on-one. And this type of therapy can assist anyone that's going through any type of a physical challenge, a mental challenge, or a spiritual challenge in some fashion or regard. And we're just kind of really blessed in that we gets a chance to be there in that process.
Oh, absolutely. Now, tell us, you know, first of all, it's amazing. The patients, I mean, it's hard enough for me to sit here with a 15-year-old and talk about horses with them and everything and try to teach them. I can't imagine the difficulties and the heart-wrenching, you know, but also inspiring things that you see on a day-to-day basis.
It is truly amazing. I am, as I explained to Jennifer, when we first got a chance to say hello to each other when she called and let us know that we were nominated, you know, I really do feel as if, and I know this for sure, that I'm one of the most blessed people on the face of this planet. And not only am I blessed because of the work that I get to do in this life, but also the experiences that I get to share, and really I get to sort of stand in the presence, if you know what I mean. And
yeah,
honestly, that is breathtaking, overwhelming, leaves you sometimes in need for a battery recharge. But at the same time, we actually see horses who are dedicated, as if they are dedicated to their job. And really and truly, I think that they know more about what they're doing than we give them credit for. And really, they're carrying clients. They are carrying humanity through. And it's really mm-hmm. not about the physical aspect of, yes, let's get on your back and let's ride. It's more of the culmination of the physical, the mental, and the emotional or the spiritual connections for clientele. And you see this in a set of teenagers that are, on the Asperger's or the autism spectrum, let's just say. So you're having an equine-assisted learning session. Like you were saying, it's difficult to keep a mainstream teenager focused. Well, it's challenging, right, to keep anyone focused. But really and truly, I find that the horses do more of the work than I do. Wow. If you have a client that is very introverted and just simply cannot speak to human beings, or a child that is coming out to visit the farm from some type of a group home facility, and these kids have had a rough life, okay, and they really don't have much reason to speak to us or trust that we need to speak to them in any way. But when you see a little boy, and he's, you know, under 10 years of age and seen more than his fair share to begin with, and he's actually able to speak to a horse within 3 months of being here. He may not speak to me. He may not speak to the volunteers. But if he's able to walk in and speak to Ethan, oh, my God. You know, oh, my God.
I have to tell you, Carolyn, Jamie knows all about working with people that are difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. She has experience with that, with me in particular. But my question is this. So I have severe ADD. So she tries to keep me straight, and it is like wrangling a Mustang. It's kind of like that. So my question is this: when the kids come in, or not even kids, but when they come in for the first time, do the horses provide immediate? Are they with them immediately, or does it take them time to learn to trust the horses? You know what I'm asking?
Exactly what you're asking, Glenn. Okay. Thank you for asking that question. That's an awesome question. Basically, it does take their horses. You know, we know our horses, right? And we know that our horses are just like people in so many ways. And a lot of times it does take the horse a little time, and it also takes the client a little time to really get comfortable. It is a learning curve for both parties.
Yeah, I was wondering, because you get a student that's fully abled, and they come in a teenager, let's say, for the first time, or a preteen. And you know, some of them go immediately to the horses, and some, you know, they're a little standoffish and a little shy around the horses, and they have to get used to it. I assume it's the same way.
You got it. It is the same way, totally.
And some take to it immediately and go, horse,
exactly.
I know about horse, you know.
Well, hello, and hopefully we're learning every day still. And, you know, my horses amaze me. They, you know, teach me something in some way every day. And I just hope that in 15, 20 years, we can sit down and maybe have this conversation again, and their horses are still teaching us every day. I really do hope that that's the case for everyone that's listening out there in your audience, and for all of us here as well.
And
I want to
ask you about that too. Like, these kind of horses that you guys must have that extra kind of sensory something going on where they know, and I want to ask if you think this, do they know that these guys are special and these kids are special and they need their help? I mean, being around horses, I swear they know what's going on at any given moment. I mean, teaching little kids and stuff, you know, able little kids, the horses seem to take better care of them. What's it like working with, you know, somebody with an Asperger's syndrome or an autism or you know, stuff like that? And how do the horses respond to them differently?
Well, you know, we see that in almost every segment. Now, keep in mind, there is a customization process to this. It's not a cookie-cutter environment. We just need to customize, given that everyone's on their own individual place and time, be it if you have a disability or if you do not. You're still interacting with the horse on your own space and time. So there is that learning curve for both parties, number one. And number two, the horses really do have a huge gift in that they're able to, and we actually teach a little bit about this here at the farm. It's called Horse Talk 101. We have one of these things every single month, and you guys can always visit our website to find that out. It's www.circlec2it.com. And really what we're doing is we're experiencing the horse on their level via Pirelli, natural horsemanship, and other types of training, because the horses that work here with me actually go through an intense evaluation process. That evaluation process can last 3 to 4 months. It can last 6 months. It can last a year if we really have really good instincts, but the horse hasn't quite gotten to where we need him to get yet. We continue to work with them for long term. All of our horses here are also rescues, or they've been donated to our program. So these guys had various activities in their past. They definitely, you know, they come from all subsets of equitation and competition. We have prize-winning jumping horses here. We have level two dressage horses here. We have horses that have, you know, every possible trait to win the Congress, but of course I'm biased now, y'all. We have horses. Thank you for laughing. We have horses that are great barrel racers. We have horses that are awesome trail guides. And all of them have this experience in their life. And it just makes them, you know, much more seasoned and much more ready to do the work that they have in front of them today. And, yes, they take it seriously. And, yes, they totally understand. Ethan, for example, amazing Morgan, gelded at 12. Okay, let me repeat that. Gelded at 12. Okay, gelded at 12, and we can put a therapeutic client on his back for a therapy session working in tandem with a therapist or with me one-on-one. We can put him in group sessions with equine-assisted learning. We can play ground games in the Agala formats with him. And then we can have myself or one of our volunteer mentors, which we have an awesome volunteer training program, which is also part of Horse Talk. And mentors actually are riders that have, you know, maybe they've been in a reining competition setting for years. Maybe they've had a little bit of everything in their bag of equitation tricks. Maybe they are just a wonderful horse trainer on their own regard and still maintaining training for mainstream clients. These folks come out. They volunteer their time to work with me and help keep these horses in their top conditioning, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And, you know, you put myself or one of our volunteer mentors on, when you know, with Ethan and pair them up. We put a couple barrels out there, and he is ready to go. I mean, there is a totally different feel and aspect. And really, guys, I think it boils down to energy, and I think it boils down to their being the horse. Ethan's ability to understand the task at hand, Ethan's ability to understand the energy level of the person that's working with him as his teammate, okay, and also Ethan's ability to understand his confident, very consecutive and consistent leader and what they're really asking of him at the time. So when
you
have a therapeutic client, it's different, you know?
You know what's
bizarre is, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I'm interrupting you because I think it's funny you keep talking about Ethan this, and he's just great, and he's awesome, and he's smart, and he's focused. I dated a guy named Ethan once, and he was nothing like your Ethan at all.
Well, now, you know, my Ethan's hard
I
to come
by. I
should
have dated your Ethan. I wish I would have found an Ethan like that.
Girl, don't we all? Come on. I mean,
Lord. Big old red-headed, muscular guy. Boy. I mean, you know, we could, yeah, I'm telling you. And just as nice and as sweet as sugar. What is more than love?
That sounds like a man you should marry right there. I mean, his qualities are pretty great. Listen,
and if you go on our Facebook page, you'll see him. He's great.
Oh, really? Okay,
yes,
I'm friends with you guys on Facebook, so I'm going to go check out my ex-boyfriend, Ethan, the better version of him, on your Facebook page. I hope he's not listening.
Y'all won't
believe
this, but his first name is Nashboro.
Nashboro Ethan, yeah, different guy.
Nashboro Ethan Kane. I mean, you cannot get better than that. Hello? Biscuit gravy and Nashboro. What more is there in life?
Well, listen, I think you're just awesome. I am so glad that Kim nominated you guys for Barn of the Month. We want to let everybody know, you know, nominate the place you're at. You don't have to be as angelic and perfect as Circle C to it, because you guys have covered the gamut on just nailing the horse world, you know, taking care of people, taking care of kids, taking care of horses, you know, you got rescue horses. I mean, this is going to be hard to top people. So don't even try to beat out Circle C to it, but nominate your barn as well. We would love to hear about it and where you guys are at. But big round of applause for CircleC2It.com. You guys can go check it out. Fantastic. Volunteer for them. Donate to them. Check out their website. Become friends with them on Facebook. And you guys, just congratulations for being Barn of the Month.
Thank you so much. Big round of applause for Horses in the Morning.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll clap for that, too. Yeah. See,
such a
love
fest.
That's the reason she won.
I know, right? She's good. Well, you
it's
guys
Circle
have a great week.
I was just going to give the website. It's CircleC2It.com. That's Circle.
Okay, let me spell it out for y'all, because it's a little bit different. www.circle.
Okay.
The letter C, the number 2, I, as in Ignatius, T, as in Tony, .com, CircleC2It.com.
Awesome.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Carolyn, and congratulations.
Thank you all so much for having us. We really appreciate you guys, and continue forward, and you guys are awesome. We love y'all.
Okay,
love
thanks.
You guys
bye-bye.
Too. Nice job. Oh, my gosh. She's my new hero. Oh, what an amazing woman. I mean, you take all these rescue horses and you throw them in there and you teach them how to take care of kids. And, you know, she kind of covered the whole gamut there, because you've got, you've got the horses that are equine assistants. You know, they're volunteers. The volunteers are with these horses. And you know what? When they're done, they then hop on them and actually exercise them and ride them correctly and keep them going. And I think that is the way to keep horses healthy and young forever, is just to keep going with them. And so, you know, good for her and good for the farm. And thanks, Kim, for nominating.
And we'll put a link to that in our show notes as well today for Horses in the Morning. And obviously a fan. We like that, too. And I thought there wouldn't be a better song. I haven't played this one, but as I was listening to her, I thought that this song absolutely fit as our song of the day, and it just fits what she's doing out there at Circle, and it's called The Language of Love by Marianne Kennedy.
The language of love is what I understand when you with a gentle hand, actions speak louder, words aren't enough, in the language of love. The language of love, not spoken with universal language of love. could understand. And then I saw you, and I reached out my hand. You didn't say a word, your eyes said enough, because you spoke the language of love.
Yes, you are, and I am Jamie Jennings, along with Glenn the Geek, and this episode of Horses in the Morning is brought to you by Back on Track, and as we do this time every week, we have to go to Christy at thehorse.com. Christy brings up our horse health report, and with her today is Dr. Ann Dwyer. She's actually the new vice president of the AAEP, and they join us today to talk about eyeballs, which, as we all know, is probably the most important thing to call the vet if you have a question. So, you guys, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, doing fantastic over here. I mean, gosh, it's absolutely beautiful outside. Most of the world has snow. Are you guys getting crazy weather?
Somewhat. I'm in the Houston area right now, and we had a freeze last night, which doesn't happen very often. It went down below freezing. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward here. How about you, Ann? I think you're entertaining yourself in Florida.
I am, but it's chilly here this morning. Good day to be talking on the phone.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks for having us on today to talk about eyes and horses. I wanted to bring this up just because I think this is one of those things that most people don't really think about unless they have a problem, and then it becomes one of those things that you just, oh, my God, well, I don't know a whole lot about this topic. So I wanted to bring this up, and Dr. Dwyer is a perfect person to do this. She focuses on ophthalmology a lot in her practice. And can you tell us a little bit about just how horses' eyes work, how they're different from humans' eyes?
Well, I think the first thing that's very obvious is that they're a lot bigger. Horses have one of the biggest globes of any land vertebrate. And the other thing is that the horse's eyes are situated on the side of the head, which makes for a very broad visual field, as opposed to our eyes, where we can only see straight in front of us. Horses can see in an arc of 350 degrees. There's a few other interesting anatomical points. Number two is the fact that the horses have third eyelids, which function like little windshield washers going over the cornea of the eye. And thirdly, they have an oval-shaped pupil. Our pupils are round, dog pupils are round, cat's pupils are spindle-shaped, but horses are oval and oriented with the horizon that they graze towards. They also have something called the corpora nigrans, which acts like a little visor, like a little baseball cap shield to, we think it actually shields some of the light coming through from above. And the, well, there's two other things that are quite distinctive about animal eyes. Number four is the fact that they have a tapetum, or brightly reflective fibrous area layer inside their eye, which improves their night vision. And lastly, as opposed to people who have a very focal spot called the macula, that can degenerate in older people, horses don't have a focus spot the way people do. They have more of a focus streak. So the image that they see when they look out on the world is a little bit grainier than the one that we see, we think. There's a lot of differences in vision, too, which I can talk about if you'd like me to.
Well, I think all that's great information. It basically tells us that it's hard to sneak up on your horse because they can see so far around them. And you told me a little bit yesterday, we were talking about horses' visual acuity, and you said they actually can see better than dogs and cats.
Yes, vision is a very, yes, it is true. Vision is a very complex topic to study, and our knowledge of horse vision is somewhat limited, but here's what we do know. If you think of a person with eagle eye vision as being 20/20 acuity, to the best of our ability to determine it, horses have a visual acuity of somewhere between 20/30 and 20/50. In contrast, dogs, we think, have visual acuity of about 20/75, and cats, even though they can chase little balls around the room pretty well, appear to have visual acuity of somewhere between 20/100 and 20/200.
Now, I got a question, because, you know, we hear this 20/20 and 20/10 and 20/100 and all that. What does that mean? And by the way, we do have Dr. Jones on the line as well. She's just joined us. But what does that mean? Because I remember, this is going to sound weird, but there was a baseball player for the Atlanta Braves who had 20/10 vision, and it was like some big deal. And something about what people see at 20 feet, he sees it 10 feet or 10 feet and 20. What, explain that.
The opposite. What you and I would have to be 10 feet away to see, he could see at 20 feet. So if you could see a spider on your counter at 10 feet away from it, he would be able to discriminate that 20 feet away.
So in horse terms or cat terms, dog terms, so when a cat sees 20/100, what we see at 20 feet, they see at 100 feet?
Correct.
Is that correct?
No,
okay.
I'm sorry. What we see at 100 feet, they see at 20 feet. This is somewhat speculative, but this is to the best that our instruments can measure, and it's somewhat surprising. The other thing to know is that we animals, as opposed to people, tend to be what we call visual generalists, in that they are able to see in all different ambiences of light. People's vision is really designed to be best in very bright light conditions. We have practically no night vision, whereas almost all animals, because of their tapetum inside their eye, have quite good vision at night, but they might not be able to see quite as well or quite as crisply as we can in the day. But obviously we've all evolved so that our vision suits our lifestyle.
I use that as an excuse of why I can't see the menus in restaurants at night.
There you go. I know you can see the prices, though.
Yeah, I'm not getting older. That's not it. It has nothing to do with it.
Not at all.
And the other thing that people are...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's a common question, and people ask me all the time, can horses see at night? And I'm thinking, well, they must. I mean, they're out there all the time, but I don't. So they do actually see, just maybe not as well.
They can see much better than we can at night.
I know that from night trail riding. They definitely can see better than we can. Before I got to vet school, the night trail rides I would take, sun or moonlight rides and such, they would catch things a lot quicker than I would.
So, Dr. Jones, can I go out and jump my horses at night?
I wouldn't suggest it.
Darn it! I need lights in my arena.
The dusk of dawn light might work just fine, but I wouldn't do it in the dark.
Oh, fine.
There are lots of scary things about that. Well, they also perceive color a little bit differently than we do, don't they?
Yes, they do, and this is one of the more interesting things about that we know about horse vision. People have what's called trichromatic vision, meaning that they have pigments in their cone receptors, and you don't really need to understand the science of this, but basically the bottom line is people can easily discriminate the colors red, yellow, blue, and green, and all kinds of shades in between. In contrast, horses have what's called dichromatic cone pigments, meaning that they really can only discriminate color spectrums revolving around the blue and the yellow wavelengths of light. Now, a convenient way to understand this is to think that the horse sees the world in terms of the colors of the things that it eats. Horses mostly eat things that are green, right? And we, from what we understand, the way they perceive the world is through a filter that looks much more just blue-green, maybe a little bit into the violet spectrum, but everything's kind of the color of alfalfa, basically. And also horses, we think horses have a colorblind situation where they're not able to distinguish the difference between blue and orange. Just like 8% of the white men in the world cannot distinguish between red and green, they see that there's a color there, but they can't tell the difference. Horses have the same issue when it comes to blue and orange. So
What can I wear to not spook my horse? What's the best color?
A hay bale, apparently.
A hay bale, yeah, there you go.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, I
would be 400 pounds if everything I saw was the color of my favorite food.
There you go. Perfect. Or maybe about 1,000. Typical horse. Perfect. Well, we wouldn't be the horse if we weren't talking about the health of the horse and problems that can occur with it. So what I wanted to ask Dr. Dwyer to tell us a little bit about next was the most common eye problems that she sees in her practice.
Well, I think the first subset of problems that we see all the time are problems that involve trauma. And trauma can be anything from a bump on the head to an actual cut across the surface of the eyeball. The first kind of trauma is blunt trauma to the ocular region. And this could happen if a horse banged its head inside a starting gate or inside of a metal trailer. Whenever trauma is accompanied by a nosebleed, it is, or a lot of pain sensitivity in the area around the eye, that's probably a good reason to seek veterinary advice, because it could indicate some trauma to the bones around the eye or to the sinuses. The second kind of trauma, which no horse owner would ever miss, would be sharp trauma to the lids. And this is one of the more alarming veterinary emergencies that occurs, and that's when eyelid is caught on something, and then the horse, of course, reacts, pulls back, and the eyelid can be nearly torn off. This is cause for abject panic among my clients, but I can tell you that these are among the more rewarding cases that veterinarians deal with, because as long as we get to torn eyelids in a very prompt fashion, generally on the same day of occurrence, and we take great care in repairing them, we can often come out with a cosmetic result that would rival any plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. The reason for this is the fact that the horses have a tremendous blood supply to their eye, so as long as we can do the surgical repair very meticulously, we can have great functional and cosmetic results. One thing a horse owner should know is that even if it looks like there's no hope for a torn eyelid, if it's just dangling by a little bit of tissue, you should never, ever cut an eyelid tear off. It always should be assessed by a veterinarian and at least tried to be put back together. One of the tips that I use for a successful repair is to basically create my own surgery table out in the field, and that's not as hard as it might sound. I basically build a table by stacking up several hay bales and then putting some kind of cover over the top of them so the horse doesn't eat the table, and then that gives a nice steady platform for repair. The major cause of eyelid tears is something that any horse owner out there can prevent. 90% of the ones that I see are caused by horses catching their eyelids in the little J-shaped hooks on water buckets or grain buckets. So I advise every one of you to go out and take a little electrical tape or duct tape and just tape up that gap, because it's often just wide enough for a horse with an itchy eye to get caught in there. And then the final kind of trauma. Go ahead.
Oh, this is just making me nauseous with the idea of an eyelid getting caught. Yeah, don't use those hooks ever. Those are terrible. They're a terrible idea. Those little J-shaped hooks you clip and then you just slide it through on the other one. No, don't use those. That's a bad idea. And yeah, keep going. I'm just like getting chills from the
thought
of it.
Yeah. Well, the other place where you really can't avoid it is most bucket manufacturers have a J-shaped hook right where the actual bucket handle meets the bucket, and they'll try to get around the safety issue by putting a little plastic cap over top of that. And that's a good idea, but with wear, these things still get gapped. So a very simple and cheap solution is just to take a little electrical tape and just close that gap, and then you don't have to worry about it. And the final type of eye trauma that we see very commonly is where the actual surface or the cornea of the eye is scratched. And horses figure out all different ways to do this. Most of the time, we really never know how they do it, but they do it quite commonly. And the cornea is like the windshield of the eye, but actually from an anatomical standpoint, it's quite complex. It has layers just like an onion. And if you only break through the superficial layer of the cornea, it's a fairly simple situation that often will heal quickly. So that would be like breaking through the papery part of the onion. But if you get deep enough, and it's quite common that you get into more of the moist part of the onion, the part that makes your eyes water, then you're into a very serious situation, especially if it's compounded with infection. That can be a very difficult thing to heal. And actually, both sorts of injuries require prompt veterinary attention, but the latter sort into the wet part of the onion can really require some very sophisticated techniques to diagnose and to treat, and a lot of patience and, unfortunately, expense on the owner's part.
My two cents on this, Dr. Dwyer, is the eyelid laceration, when you said don't cut it off, please have a veterinarian address it and put it back together. The big point of that for the horse owners is that those eyelashes are going to be removed if they cut it off. And they play a significant role in protecting the horse's eye as it is, but once you remove them, you can't grow them back. So trying to secure and salvage that eyelid is most important. And
exactly.
My other comment about your expenses is I think eyes are another very good reason for horse owners to have major medical insurance, because they can be quite costly and they look like a little nothing scratch to start, and they can become quite infected. Here in Florida with fungal infections, which can be very aggressive, they become quite costly to treat and also very exhausting for the horse owner unless they use a lay-up barn, which again is another cost.
Yes, I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
Very good
advice.
Jennifer and I both have done a lot of eye drops and creams, and you know what? It just makes your horse mad at you. You know,
yes,
you can put in the little eye lavage systems and everything, but they still see you because you're going out there maybe every 2 hours, you know, all night long, and they see you coming and they hate you.
Yes. That's
so
pretty much it.
Definitely. The first thing you want to do immediately upon the eye things, you guys are being, you know, modest because you're veterinarians, call the vet. Call the vet with anything eye-related at all. There is not one eye thing you can treat by yourself. You don't want to put, you know, oh, I've got this eye stuff, I can put it in. No, you don't do that, because if it has steroid in it, you're going to make it worse if it's a scratch. So there's a million different reasons to call your vet immediately. And, again, the veterinary insurance, the equine insurance, is a fantastic idea, because you just cannot handle an eyeball anything by yourself. And, you know, it's just going to get worse. And it gets worse and worse and worse and more painful and more painful. So it's something you have to treat. You have to suck it up and treat it. You might as well just have the assistance of a doctor and maybe some equine insurance. That's my two cents, and I'm done. Go ahead.
Excellent. Yeah, and I would add that an early call on a painful or discolored eye, and here are the signs that you should call the veterinarian. Number one, if the eye turns color, especially if it suddenly turns blue. Number two, if the horse suddenly is squinting the eye, tearing heavily, and doesn't want to be handled around the head. And number three would be just the horse being averse to you being anywhere close to it, or having something like a nose bleed or very obvious swelling all around the eye. Early intervention often can ward off disaster. There's nothing that a veterinarian likes to see less than an eye that's had a week or so to have an infection gain a toehold. Then you're into a problem that costs thousands. Whereas if that problem had had early intervention, yes, it would have been expensive, but more in the line of hundreds rather than thousands.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for bringing up all those points. And you mentioned, Jamie, you mentioned earlier how your horse ends up just hating you when you go out to put meds in his eye all the time. And I just wanted to, Dr. Dwyer to briefly mention something that we talked about yesterday, which was an indwelling implant system for delivering medications to the eye in certain situations. And I just thought that was a really cool thing. And Dr. Dwyer, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. These systems have had some refinement in recent years, and they're very easy to place now. They're called subpalpebral lavage systems, and they work somewhat similar to an intravenous catheter in that they're basically a tube that allows access to your desired point of medication entry. But instead of the catheter being put into the vein, the catheter is actually threaded through the eyelid, and it has a little port in it that allows medication to drip onto the eye. They're really quite simple type devices, but they're long tubes that are threaded through the mane, down the crest of the neck to the withers, and then they end in an injection port, very similar to an IV catheter port, where the owner or the technician or the veterinarian can actually inject very tiny doses of medication into the tube and then push through a little bit of air that makes the medication travel down to the tube and then drip onto the eye. And these are absolutely critical for maintaining or for treating serious eye problems, because we use a real polypharmacy of medication to get serious problems cured. Often, it's not uncommon for us to use 5 or even 6 medications at a treatment and do that maybe 6 or even 12 times a day. And that's very simple to do if you're doing it through a lavage tube, but pretty much impossible to do if you're trying to do it by prying your horse's eyelids open. And you're right, some horses don't like treatment even with the lavage tubes, but with a little bit of patience and a lot of treats, you can get the job done.
Yeah,
okay, this horse husband has one thing to say. Ew!
Yeah,
the whole conversation,
Glenn,
I'm going, ew!
Yeah, Glenn, you definitely do not want to watch them put the lavage system in. I've assisted in a couple of them. And basically, it's this giant needle that they stick underneath the eyelid and pull through the eyelid. It's horrible. So if you're an owner, don't watch them do it. Just walk away. Just walk away, let them do the thing, and then they'll just tell you how to use it.
I lose weight. I'll tell you what. I lose weight every Wednesday because after the show, I just can't eat lunch.
I love it.
That just doesn't go.
Glenn, I have to assure you, Glenn, though, that once it's in, you don't even know it's there. It's you see the tube going down the neck, but there's nothing that you see around the eye. It's extremely comfortable for the horse. The horse doesn't even know it's there, and the device can be left in place for over a month. So it's a real wonderful aid, and it's much nicer than talking to your wife at breakfast about the prospect of your horse losing its eye or losing its vision. So great thing to have, even if it is a little
I'll give you that
to think
one.
About.
All right, well, I know we're about out of time, but I wanted to bring up just a couple of preventive tips. We discussed some things about protecting your horse's eye, hopefully avoiding some of these kind of problems that require the fun lavage systems and all that kind of stuff. So what suggestions would you have for preventing injury to your horse's eyes?
Okay, the first thing I would say is get an eye exam of any horse that you buy, because an awful lot of horses that are for sale out there have eye problems that are not obvious to casual inspection, and really only a veterinarian can do that. Secondly, what we just talked about, call right away if you do think you have an eye problem. Those really are same-day type emergencies. Number three, we strongly advise safety proofing your stall and your pasture. This is pretty much common sense. We already talked about taping up the bucket hooks, but it's also amazing how many stalls have broken pieces of page wire or protruding nails or other pieces of hardware that could be a hazard to the horse, and also obvious things in the pasture. Number four would be careful in turnout situations, especially if you've got horses of different sizes. If you turn out a mini with a draft horse, the mini's eye region happens to be just about right at kick level for the larger companion. So make sure they all get along. And the final thing I would say is I'm also a big advocate of the use of fly masks, not only in fly season, but they're good protective covers for the horse. They're good at shielding the horse from UV light, which can have a little bit of a harmful effect on certain colors of horses, and they're just good barriers. So I love a good fly mask on a horse in season.
For trailer,
Dr. Dwyer has seen our little white pony that has severe conjunctivitis if we don't keep the fly mask on year-round. To keep the sunlight out of her eyes or decrease the amount of sunlight that gets to her eyes. So I definitely second that fly mask.
Is a good idea. And Jennifer has been asking all morning in pre-show and before the show and been typing it to us here, is when are they going to come out? Two questions. When are they going to come out with contacts for horses, especially in the pretty blue color? And the second thing is, how do you get them to read the eye chart?
Well, the eye chart question, you just dangle a carrot in front of them on a fishing line and see how quickly they come towards it. And the contact lens question, actually, they do make contact lenses for horses. However, they don't make them to improve their vision. They make contact lenses, flexible ones, quite expensive, I might add, in order to help medicate and protect the surface of the eye. And they're not used all that often, but they are used. I actually used them on a foal earlier this year. So,
there you go.
Not,
I can't
not
even
an
put contact.
I
have a tough time putting contact in my own eyes every day. I can't imagine putting it in the horses, although their balls are bigger. So probably be a little easier that way. Well, you guys, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys being on every week. Thank you, Christy, for ruining my lunch once again today. We appreciate that, too. And, of course, you can find all kinds of good stuff over at thehorse.com. And, Anne, do you have a website?
Yes, we do. www.gveequine.com.
And can people contact you off the website if they have questions or that kind of thing?
Yes, certainly.
Okay,
certainly.
Great.
And another good website to pass on is one called www.blindhorses.org. Blindhorses.org. And that has a lot of general eye information, not just information on blind horses. So that's one I always send people to.
Okay, great.
Well,
and Dr. Jones, can you remind everybody of yours too?
Yes, mine's www.florida, the whole word, equine, floridaequine.com.
Okay, great. And, of course, it's thehorse.com that this whole segment is brought to you by, and our good friend Christy over there. Thanks once again, Christy, and we'll talk to you guys all again next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy your lunch.
Thank you.
Or lack thereof. The eyeball stuff is, you know, being a vet tech, for as long as I was, my gosh, we used to get the call, oh, somebody's horse hurt their eyeball, and I'd go, not it! Not it! I don't want to go!
You know, the worst part about eyeballs is when you try to treat them, they're all squinty, and you peel the eyelid open, and you try to do it, and just when you think you've got it, they move and smack you in the face.
Oh, yeah. It's
That's
not fun.
Those me off.
That's why those lavage systems are amazing. But my gosh, to see somebody pull the horse's eyelid out and stick this giant needle up through it is just more than I need to see.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay,
can
I please change the topic now, because Tor's husband's had enough eyeball stuff for one morning. But it was good information. It was good to know because, you know, there is nothing worse than having a scratch on an eyeball and having to put those drops in for weeks every 2 hours and have seen your wife get up in the middle of the night because that's somewhere I never went. She had me do it occasionally, and I could almost get it in there on a good day.
You could manage on the little ponies.
That's right. On the little ponies, I could do it. Yeah. But didn't our draft horse, who was like 18-2, have an eye one time? That was a problem.
I think very nearly every horse we've ever owned has had at least one of those things like, you know, yeah, we got to put, you know, saline in them for 3 days or something. You know, when they live outside and there's bugs and there's crap, and it was a pretty common occurrence. So luckily, they were mostly minor. We only ever had a couple of really major ones.
Now, Glenn,
you know,
I thought you were going to change the subject.
Oh, yes, I am. And the subject is there's a whole conversation going on at Facebook that's a little lighter in nature than eyeballs, but we do thank thehorse.com for bringing us good information every week. And that is, what hot drink do you drink when it's cold and snowy? And, of course, hot chocolate. And I said hot chocolate, we used to call it cocoa and toast. And then I noticed Jamie posted up there, do you put your toast in your hot chocolate? Have you never dunked toast in hot chocolate before?
Wait a second. You are serious. You actually put your toast in your hot chocolate?
Oh, my gosh,
I thought, you didn't come from a cold, snowy place. We used to go out, and we used to spend the entire day after a snowstorm sledding and getting soaked, and you were outside all day, and you were a kid, and you didn't care. And you come back in the house, and my mom would get out a whole loaf of bread, because there was four of us boys, an entire loaf, and start toasting it. She would toast the entire loaf of bread, make the hot chocolate, and you would take this buttery toasted bread, and you'd dunk it in the hot chocolate. Best stuff in the world after you've come in from a cold, sweaty day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've never, ever, ever done that, ever. I would never think of it. But see, I only have wheat bread, so I would never think of dunking wheat toast in the hot chocolate. That's just going to, that's gross.
Well, you're true. You know what? That is true. It had to be white bread. And that's one thing. We don't eat white bread very much, but I'll tell you what. White bread is good for dunking toast and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, in my opinion. But for dunking, and I did notice that what I'm seeing here are the comments. We have raspberry tea. I'm a big iced tea drinker, but that's not hot. Our sister-in-law, Lynn, said hot cocoa and cinnamon toast. Now, I doubt she dunks the cinnamon toast, but maybe so. Hot cocoa with extra marshmallows. Now, I don't drink my cocoa with marshmallows because I think they get in the way, but Jennifer does. Do you drink yours with marshmallows, Jane?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I cannot remember the last time I had hot chocolate. I drink one cup of coffee in the morning, and, you know, if I really need to warm up, I'm going to the liquor cabinet and having a swig of whiskey. That's what cowgirls do, Glenn. Cowgirls drink the whiskey, okay?
I think Susan is on your page because she wrote coffee and Bailey's. So I think she's right there with you. We had this stuff, too, and the New Englanders will know this. It's called Autocrat, and it's only sold in New England for some reason, but it's like it comes in jars similar to chocolate syrup, to Hershey's chocolate syrup, only it's coffee syrup. And you take it and you put it in a cold glass of milk. You just pour this in there, and it is the best stuff. I don't like coffee, and I like coffee milk, but we used to buy that stuff. We haven't ordered any lately. Well, we used to buy that stuff by the case and have it shipped to us when we were in a place where we couldn't get it. Just love coffee milk. And the people in New England will know what I'm talking about.
Never have I ever heard of that in my entire life. This is an education for me. Well, I told you, when I went skiing last time, we had this great drink called the Cowboy Chocolate. And I don't know what, I'm not quite sure. I'm taking a guess that it was coffee, Bailey's, and whiskey with, like, tons of whipped cream on top. I'm going to tell you that I had one cowboy chocolate, and I really almost couldn't walk out of there.
That's
I certainly
serious
wasn't
chocolate.
Seeing anywhere after that. I mean, it was, but you have to order it when it's called cowboy chocolate. But yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I don't swig whiskey or anything like that. But that one was good, and no, it's just not cold enough here. I guess I'll take it. I'm fine with it.
I wanted to get to something today, and we're not going to have time because we're plain running out of time. But we'll get to it tomorrow. I wanted to get to this, and I don't know if you saw it. It was going around Facebook a little yesterday, and it was the 11 reasons not to have children. Did you see that one going around Facebook?
I did. Somebody posted it or sent it to me, but I haven't read it yet. So should I wait till tomorrow then?
Yeah, wait till tomorrow because I'm going to put a little bit of a spin on it. And it could also be the 11 reasons not to get your puppies next Monday. So I'm going to put a little spin on that too. And I know you want to have kids someday. So really this will apply in both situations, two little puppies coming on Monday and eventually having children. I think that both of these apply.
The jury is still out on the children thing, so maybe this will help swing my decision.
Well, you got plenty of time for that. You can enjoy your puppies for a while.
That sounds good.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for today. Did we forget anything, Jennifer? Did we cover everything you had booked for us today? Boy, you were busy.
You have covered everything and more, my dear.
Wow.
Well,
we did good.
A little report here. Keeneland reported that 391 horses and one stallion share were sold in the auction's first 2 days. Of course, I'm talking about the auction where Jennifer said you could buy a cheap horse. They grossed $19,600,200, and each horse averaged a price of $50,001. So not the cheap, so maybe the economy is in recovery. I just wanted to give an update on the cheap horses selling in Keeneland right now. $50,000 will get you one.
Be sure to listen to all the shows that we do on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And you can also follow us, as we said, on Facebook, where all the good conversations go on that we talk about all morning. And you can just search for Horses in the Morning there. And we are on Twitter at Horse Radio.
If you miss a live show, you can listen to recorded ones on our website, affiliate websites, download them from iTunes, whatever. You don't have to miss any episodes. We will be back tomorrow morning. And again, we're going to talk about the 11 reasons Glenn thinks I should not get puppies or have children. So say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great ride today. Wear your helmet. And those in the Northeast, enjoy the snow.